Welcome back to Niaga Spotlight with me, Tamina Kausji. So this week on Future Affairs, we explore the topic of digital banking in Malaysia. Now, around 20% of the world's 250 digital banks are in the Asia-Pacific region. Bank Negara Malaysia BNM also recently announced Malaysia's first 5 digital banking licenses to some of the leading fintech, technology and finance industry players, which will be operational by 2024. Few short months away. Now, these digital challengers with innovative business models are expected to enhance the depth and breadth of banking products and services offered to Malaysian society. Matthew Fernandez, immediate former committee member with the Fintech Association of Malaysia, FAOM, and chief operating officer with Microleap, joins us now to discuss digital banking in Malaysia and what exactly the near future holds. Matthew, thanks so much for making time. How are you doing today?
Good. Selamat Hari Merdeka.
Wonderful.
We're happy to be here.
Thank you so much for the wishes. So, Matthew, let's get started off by talking about post-pandemic, of course. What has been observed is that huge acceleration in adoption of digital finance. So, it's gone up by about 74%. And how can this be expanded via digital banking models?
I think the good thing about, it's a great question. I think the good thing is with the digital banking space, the smartphone adoption as well as internet penetration has gone up from using MCMC's figures from 2017, 2018 to now, from 74% and 87% right up to over 95%, 97, 98% at the moment. So that, I think, has been spurred after from pandemic to now. Mm-hmm. And I think after that, it's now with the digital banking players coming in. Already we have our current digital banking, our current P2P players already, like ourselves, in this space. So we're looking forward to actually working with these digital banking players and spurring their growth as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, though, just your thoughts, your two cents on how ready we are for digitalization itself and to be doing all processes from start to finish online, not having to walk into a physical location to do any of the documentation.
Yes, exactly. I think it's good if we can continue having what the regulators are currently doing, which is getting the SC players as well as Bank Negara players to work together. The ITACAT is one example where they're trying to get the social financing for both digital and traditional banking guys to work with players like us, Mason Kira, Global SciTech. So, you know, it's because, again, if you can work with the ones people on the ground right now, then it make your adoption, the trust for these guys much easier. Mm-hmm. Because at this point in time, there'll always be not so much a distrust or mistrust, but more the fact that people are not unaware how digital banking is going to work. And, you know, it's good to work with players that are already on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, though, those very positive figures of an estimated 74% of us already using digital financial services, that's pointing to a larger framework, right?
Yep, exactly. I think we are looking at, I think after the digital banking players come in, then you've got five strong players, as well as these government initiatives like ITACAT and government agency initiatives like Islamic Digital Economy from MDEC, ITACAT, and all coming together.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that also speaks to having the diversified financial landscape to meet the Malaysian consumer market demand, those which are Sharia compliant as well as traditional. Now, let's look at the estimated 55%, Matthew, of Malaysia's adult population, which is either underbanked or unbanked. So how can digital banking help to overcome some of the challenges for financial inclusion, looking at different demographics? We don't only want it to be hyper-concentrated within urban areas, right?
Exactly. I think if everyone has the Klang Valley bias, if I can call it that.
Sure.
Because
I think that's well said.
Yeah, you know, everyone just keeps looking. I mean, granted, most of us are here, based here, but it's good if they can start looking towards the East Malaysia, for example, Sabah, Sarawak, which even ourselves we're looking to grow there. And I think it's if hopefully the digital banking players are also having more of an association kind of viewpoint rather than the silo viewpoint of only looking at, again, the peninsula / urban areas. Because even the likes of Perlis or or our rural Johor, Malacca, I mean, all these places also need, you know, as much digital solutions, as many digital solution providers as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this DFS space, digital financing space needs to grow as much and can, so that the outreach can meet the demand of everyone versus only the, as rightly pointed out, that 55%.
That's right. And Let's humanize it a little bit, particularly looking at MicroLeap's experience, Matthew. If you could share with us perhaps a story or something that's really spoken to the fact that ensuring digital finance reaches particularly micro SMEs and entrepreneurs on a very timely basis is what can ensure they get upscaled.
Yes, that's a great point. Because another clear example is this goat and chicken farmer from Kuala Pilah that has been on our platform and has grown with us over these last 2 years.
Right.
Slowly came at only 25,000 ask, and then later on, and also was funded, whole process took about 2 weeks. Only 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but of course, the caveat is that he's very responsive, responsible MSME as well. So when we call him to answer some questions, or we call him to, you can please log in and accept the terms and conditions, he actually does it. Versus, or even the basic debt management accounting training that we provide for free, English BM, because they need to pass it before they get the financing. Mm-hmm. So even that also, he's responsive. So that's why it's fast. Because sometimes when they take their own sweet time, then and they don't respond back to us, then it might take 2 to 4 weeks. But he's been very good. I think it's a clear example for me, because he went from 25,000 just growing within Seremban, Klang Valley and a bit of Johor. And now he's looking at Sabah Sarawak, Indonesia on that side, because they really like, I mean, basically they're happy with his, basically his production and his, basically his farming methods, etc. And that was something which we were quite proud of, because...
Because the access to finance played such a big role, right. Yeah. So from there, moving along, Matthew, now will the competitive landscape of the Malaysian banking sector be altered or enhanced by the advent of our 5 new digital finance players? What measures can be taken to ensure a sort of a peaceful coexistence?
Yeah. Exactly, it's true. They need to coexist no matter what. And I think you'll always have people who prefer the traditional banking routes. I mean, especially if it's convenient for them. Again, mainly would be urban areas, of course. But, I would hope that they just like how the two regulators, which I applaud their efforts to getting our players working together, because, again, if there's no point reinventing the wheel. But at least having the digital banking players working together, traditional banking players, is a must. I mean, we have enough resources, and we should be, you know, kind of going forward, because, you know, SC was the first regulator to regulate the digital P2P space, digital registered market operators, and, you know, other countries took the lead after. You know, so I hope that even for digital banking, maybe we may not be the first, but hopefully we will take strides to expedite and, you know, get these guys, the integration and the adoption to be, you know, taken off straight away.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, moving goalposts, and then these guys, you know, the longer they take to operationalize and the longer they take to work with people like us who are already on the ground, then, you know, it's just going to drag on forever, and hopefully not forever.
Yeah, so 2024 is also only 3 short months away.
Exactly.
Now, also, there is, of course, a cap of 3 billion ringgit during the foundational phase, especially when it comes to the digital bank's assets. Now, do you feel that the regulatory restrictions of BNM's licensing framework are prudent, or are they pointing towards perhaps more room?
I feel it's prudent for now. It's just that, you know, but there also has to have a line. You know, there has to be a point where the goalpost, again, is not moved, and then everybody can start working towards getting everything ready, getting everything live. And if and when there will be any measures to change the frameworks, then at that point in time, maybe in a periodical phase, maybe in 2 to 3 years' time, something like that. It has to be, I would say, a baseline first, and then maybe at a later time, maybe look if there's a need for only if there's a need, then only update their frameworks and thresholds.
Mm, absolutely. So we've spoken briefly about why some customers might be still more interested in traditional banking models. Mm. Matthew, what about digital banks? How can they overcome some common issues of skepticism and lack of trust, particularly with those who are unbanked or even underbanked, and they might just be introduced to financial services in a digital mode?
Yeah, I think the main thing there is, again, the strategic partnerships. I think that's the key. Mm. If these guys work with players like us who are already on the ground, then the adoption will be so much faster. Because it's, we've already basically taken the initial hits, I would say. Because, you know, even us under a different regulator, under Ministry of Finance, even that also, our regulators are thankfully now realizing this and trying to get the word out there that, hey, these are regulated entities, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, to build the trust. I mean, even in Indonesia, from the fintech players I know there, that's what the regulators over there are doing. They're literally on the ground, going to rural areas, telling that these are the people you can trust. So if they do the same thing for the digital banking guys as well as how SC is doing it for us, I think that would be great. I mean, because that, you know, you can't beat, like, say, a roadshow in the heart of KK, for example, or something along that line, where people know what these guys are all about, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, of course, yeah, again, if you work with players that are already on the ground, then people already know us, they trust us, then obviously they'll just go, oh, if Microleap or whichever company is regulated entities already working with you, then, oh, wait a minute, you're actually from this particular bank that I'm already a banking customer of.
Sure.
Then, yeah, that's how they can help to overcome the initial skepticism.
Absolutely. Yeah. Matthew, thank you so much for making time to paint us that really bright picture of the digital banking landscape in Malaysia. That was Matthew Fernandes, former committee member, FinTech Association of Malaysia, FAOM, and COO with Microleap. Well, that's all we have time for today on Niaga Spotlight. We'll see you again next Friday with more business analysis and insights. I'm Tamina Kausji, signing off. See you then.